2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back into the show. KSL News Time, 1:35 p.m. on this Saturday afternoon. BYU Basketball WCC Tournament coming up on Monday night. Spring football. We've covered a lot. Big thanks to BYU Basketball Assistant Cody Feger for joining the program in the previous segment. But now we got to get to the top five.
Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5. Mitch and Matt clash in a weekly battle of BYU sports knowledge. A Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5.
Yeah, it's the Top 5, always brought to you by Economic Partners, Utah's premier business evaluation and strategic consulting firm. If you need a business valuation, contact econpartners.com today. They're BYU MBAs, they're BYU fans. Got to do right by the Cougar Nation, right? Contact econpartners.com today. Let's bring in our producer and the maestro of the Top 5, Dallin Graff. Dallin, what's on deck for today's Top 5 this week?
Well, you know, it's actually a topic you've already mentioned. We're talking about spring football. In the production, the loss of production. One of the big things that stuck out to me and something I've been thinking about for the last week is how do you replace the production of wide receiver, and specifically losing Dax Milne, who had an incredible season last year. And the first guy that comes to mind is Gunnar Romney, right? And if you look at the beginning of his season last year, against Navy, 134 yards. Against Troy, 138 yards. Louisiana Tech, 101 yards. He was off to a really hot start, missed a couple games, had some injuries, and that really sort of slowed him down towards the end of the season. But he was really on a very strong pace. And I think coming into next season fully healthy, he's going to be a big player. If he does have the big season I expect him to, he might end up towards the top of the career receiving yards list at BYU, and that is today's top five, the top five in career receiving yards at BYU. All you got to do is name the player, and we'll go from there. Any questions before we begin?
Nope.
It seems simple enough. Yeah.
All right, we're going to start with Mitch this week. Mitch, what's your first guess here?
Let's go with Cody Hoffman.
Yes, you started at the top. Well done. Cody Hoffman is the leader in career receiving yards at BYU, 3,612 yards. When you talk about Cody Hoffman, I think the one thing that sticks out is that monster 2012 season. 100 receptions, 1,248 yards, and 11 touchdowns as a junior. He was truly, really incredible. And throughout his career, very consistent, had at least 40 receptions and 500 yards in every season that he played and contributed every year. And that, you know, that's how you rack up those kind of yards.
And no offense to our dear friend of the program, Riley Nelson, but imagine if he had played with a guy like Zach Wilson. You know, so, I mean, Riley, tip of your cap to Riley. What I loved about Riley is he went to Cody repeatedly. He knew that Cody was the guy, double teamed. I don't care, I'm throwing to Cody. But it's no surprise, Mitch, that that era of BYU football was not known for its quarterback play.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable what Cody Hoffman did. I mean, in his only other offer coming out of high school was Sacramento State. And it was like, what? This guy became the best receiver statistically in BYU football history. Pretty impressive stuff.
No doubt. All right, Matt, to you.
I'm going to go with a wide receiver that cut his career a year short, like Dax Milne, and that's Austin Colley.
All right, number two on the list, Austin Colley, 3,225 yards at BYU. All three of his seasons, he had at least 40 receptions and 700 yards. His best season, 2008, we're talking 88 receptions, 1,339 yards, and 15 touchdown receptions.
Excuse me? Did I hear those numbers?
That is insane. I mean, the single season, that's the greatest. As far as receiving yards, that's the biggest anyone's ever had at BYU. So he has that single season record and just behind Hoffman by a couple hundred yards in the career receiving yards. If he comes back the senior year, no doubt, you know, barring any injuries, he would have passed him. That's how incredible he was in just three seasons.
You know what's remarkable, too? It's like he served a mission. And he just comes back from his mission, Mitch, and it was like he never left. I mean, you just don't see that often from return missionaries where it was just like, yeah, I'll just shake off these 2 years and continue dominating.
Yeah, Austin Colley, is it fair to say he's the greatest of all time wide receiver?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say.
I mean, he was the man. Like, he was so good at BYU, and then that fit in the NFL, like him going to the Indianapolis Colts, you're like, oh, you're kind of sad that he was going in the fourth round because you thought, oh, he's better than that. He deserves to be in the second or third, but what a perfect fit. Him and Peyton Manning was a great match. It's just sadly the injuries and the concussions, you know, derailed what was going to be, I thought, a heck of an NFL career too. Austin Colley was stud. I mean, just every bit as good as maybe you remember, and then some. He was the man at BYU.
No doubt. All right, Mitch, back to you.
Let's go with Dennis Pitta.
Yes, that great pull. The lone tight end on the list.
Very interesting.
Hint, hint. Yes, Dennis Pitta, 2,901 yards. Again, he was same sort of situation, right? Had a year, went on a mission, came back, played three more seasons, and just, you know, incredibly consistent. Three seasons with 800 plus yards. His biggest in 2008 alongside Austin Colley. He had 83 receptions, over 1,000 yards and six touchdowns. And getting that sort of production next to a true number one wide receiver, a guy getting targeted that much, just shows how good Pitta was that you could not get him the ball as well. You had to get him his touches, and he surely did.
Yeah, it's special, too, to think two of these three guys that we've talked about already, they were just lightly recruited guys. Because I think, you know, I know myself personally, I love the recruiting rankings, and I love the star system and what it means, because I feel like it's almost becoming as accurate as possibly can be. I mean, there's just so much talent in those stars, but there's guys like Dennis Pitta, who was a preferred walk-on, like Dax Milne, and Gary Croton goes out to Moore Park and does a tryout with this dude. He's like, we got to get this guy, and he becomes an all-timer, and what just a fantastic football player. And like Austin Colley, he would have probably played in the NFL a lot longer had it not been for injuries. So, and he became a Super Bowl champion, and just, man, he was so automatic. I think back to that Oklahoma game in 2009. What was it, a 4th-and-2?
Yep.
He, over the middle, he just automatic, moving the sticks, great player, just great hands. Dennis Pitta, man, he was something special. And it felt like for the longest time, Matt, BYU fans were saying, what's going to happen with the tight end position? When are we getting that back? When are we going to have the next Dennis Pitta? Well, luckily now, it's been a position that's been revived under Kalani Sitake, but there was some years there where the tight ends were not utilized as much as they once were with Dennis Pitta.
I will add to that, though. I think there's still an opportunity for Aaron Roderick to utilize the tight ends more like Dennis Pitta was, where Isaac Rex and Mac Bushman, they were big play guys, but I don't know if they were utilized enough in the short game. You referenced that 4th-and-2, 4th-and-3. I'd love to see Isaac Rex. His touchdowns are coming down. I'm sorry, guys. He's not getting 12. But if his receptions could be plus 55, I would love that. You know, 3rd-and-4, boom, 5-yard out to Isaac Rex. I just want to see some more short game possession type plays like we saw so often with Dennis. It was almost automatic with Dennis, where it's like, oh, you need 5 yards, ding, Dennis Pitta. I love that. Yeah, so I'd love to see that come back.
Great point. All right, we're 3 for 3 so far. Let's see where we go from here. Matt, what do you got?
Well, you did save me from a miss because I was going to go with the tight end. So now I'm really scratching my brain, and I'm going to go with Curtis Brown, running back. Ouch.
All right. I'm going to go with, I think I've got it locked up. He's a dear friend on my Facebook page. I see his timeline. I see his work all the time. All the Facebook statuses. Eric Drage.
Nice.
There we go.
Yes, well done. Eric Drage, and you know, didn't have the splashy season that some of these other players had, but was just incredibly consistent. Back-to-back 1,000-yard receiving seasons in 1991 and 1992. 10-plus touchdown receptions in both of those seasons as well. And then three straight seasons with at least 50 receptions and 900 yards. So, you know, that racks up to over 3,000. He had 3,065 yards total in his career. And again, just really a consistent receiver for BYU when they needed it.
Yeah, and Drage was just like... so automatic, and he's just like tough too. Like, he, you know, another under the radar guy, wasn't thought of much when he arrived at BYU, but he was Ty Detmer's go-to guy, and he had one of the best individual plays in the history of BYU football. He had a 97-yard touchdown against Utah. Think about that. Like, how crazy would that be, seeing BYU pop off some 97-yard touchdown grab against the Utes? It's almost like, does that even happen anymore? Does BYU score with ease ever against Utah anymore? Yeah, Eric Drage was a tough football player, and you think, like, he kind of reminds me of, like, just the BYU receivers back in that day where they just had the automatic hands, tough as nails, and they just ran their routes to a T. Like, they just knew where to go. The defenses knew what was coming, but they still couldn't stop it, and Eric Drage was a dang good football player in that BYU offense that was obviously led by Ty Detmer.
Yeah, and I think that type of player, you know, when you think of Drage and like Ben Cahoon, and I think even Dax Milne fits in there, BYU receivers have got to be craftsmen of route running and catching the football, and I think so far under Fessy Satake's tutelage, that's what we're getting from this current crop of wide receivers.
No doubt.
Oddly enough, I kind of put Dax Milne a little bit more with Austin Colley type. Just kind of my opinion.
Interesting. I know that he took the lid off with a lot of deep plays, but I still view him as just a precise route running, sure handed type of receiver. Yeah. Colley was in a league of his own.
Yeah, that's fair.
No doubt. All right, we have so Mitch gets the win, but we have one more on here. Matt, do you want to take a shot at guessing who you think this is?
Mitch Matthews.
How about Glenn Kozlowski? Okay.
Oh, geez. Man.
Get a couple more guesses if you want.
Woo! Okay. It's obvious. Harvey Unga?
That's a good guess. I would have thought that he's probably in the mix, like top 10, I would imagine. How about I'm going to throw this thing back. Old school. Let's go with Jay Miller.
Okay.
That was like late 60s.
There's a guy. There's a guy that played with Detmer. I'm struggling to Bellini.
Ooh, yeah.
It's a good guess. Bellini is sixth, by the way.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah.
How about this? I want to say he grew up out in West Valley, so my neck of the woods. Growing up.
Oh.
It was back. It was called Hunter back in those days when he was playing youth baseball with my dad. Andy Boyce. Okay.
Another solid guess. It is Margin Hooks.
Oh, jeez. Margin, we're sorry.
We're sorry. 2,800
receiving yards. He is going to blast my DM.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Blast us. We deserve it.
And that 1999 season, 62 receptions, 1,136 yards, 7 touchdowns. Big time. And again, a consistent guy throughout his career at BYU.
You know, that's kind of interesting because, and I do this all the time, I feel like Margin Hooks is far too often overlooked. But yeah, when you put the numbers there, he's top five. He was in the NFL for a little bit, I think a year with the Miami Dolphins, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think, too, if memory serves me right. But yeah, he's kind of like a forgotten guy a little bit because it was those years after 1996 where the quarterback play was okay. Kevin Federick was good. I mean, he was solid. You put his numbers up against many other programs, he'd be one of the best ever. But it was just still like no one ever says their favorite quarterback was Kevin Federick. You know, they were Paul Shoemaker or Drew Miller. You know, Marjon Hooks, though, kind of like in that same cut from Cody Hoffman. Quarterback issues, but still put up big numbers. And he wore some awful jerseys, too. Those bibs were horrendous, but still cool. Now, 20 years later, you look back at him and go, you know, it was kind of cool. I can't believe we forgot Marjon Hooks. He is going to be very upset with us.
Well, Mitch, congrats on the win this week on the top five.
Thank you.
Well done, guys. Good guessing this week. We're improving. We're getting better. Well,
yes.
Well done.
Yeah, the guess, like, I will never forget Nathan Call, the all-time three-point leader ever again. It's been inundated in my mind from a few weeks ago.
Parting words from you, Mitch, on our way out?
You know, obviously that happy with the victory, first off. And, you know, the receiving room, I think that BYU potentially has another guy maybe that could be in that mix. I think Isaac Rex, or the tight end room as well, Isaac Rex could be that guy that knocks on the door of being in that top five, definitely top 10 conversation by the end of his career. Because you think about it, he's going into a season where if he wanted to, he could still be a redshirt freshman this upcoming season. He's got all this, you know, valuable time in the program already. Probably, you know, going to be still a sophomore internally. He's going to, you know, consider himself that way. But if he wanted, he could play another 4 years at BYU. Crazy to think. So we could see some record books rewritten because of this extra year due to the pandemic. So we'll be interesting to see. But we appreciate our sponsor, Economic Partners, Utah's premier business evaluation and strategic consulting firm. Contact econpartners.com today to get a business evaluation because, yeah, they're BYU MBAs, they're BYU fans. Hit up econpartners.com today.
All right, we got to get to a break. That was the top five. We'll be back with more to wrap up hour number two after this. Stay with us. It's Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.